This is a Collider.com audio interview.
What are you wearing today, buddy?
Dolce & Gabbana.
Oh, it's very nice.
Thank you.
What are you wearing?
Dolce & Gabbana.
Oh, well, very, very, very fast.
It's always an easy choice for me. Mm-hmm.
Now, Amy, we heard that for your audition, you just basically blew everybody away right away. They just knew as soon as you walked in. And it doesn't sound like hype either. It just sounds like you really kind of knew. I mean, talk about just kind of getting comfortable with this character and knowing who she was.
Well, when I first read the script, I felt like I knew who she was, and I felt that it was something I understood, oddly enough. I think that I've always been attracted to characters who are positive and who come from a very innocent place. I think there's a lot of room for discovery in those characters, and that's something I always have fun playing. And I didn't treat it like it was a joke. I treated it like it was Chekhov, and maybe they sensed my sincerity.
What about the challenge of shooting this out of continuity and finding the place you had to be, and within that, you know, that the whole change that the
yeah.
character goes through, and how challenging was that?
It's always challenging when you're shooting a film. Shooting things out of order and keeping continuity on all levels is always, for me, the most challenging thing. In this character in particular, we paid really close attention to how her emotions tracked and her different levels of vulnerability and her physicalness. It was something we tracked very closely.
You watch copiously every Disney animated film from 1937 to the present day to get this character right?
Well, I wish I could say that I spent hours in front of... But the truth is that I had done so much of that in my childhood and my teenage years that I already knew them so well. There was no need to sort of study. And I kind of tried to avoid them because I didn't want to do an imitation of one of the previous princesses. I wanted to create a new character. And Kevin had done such a wonderful job. He did art, and he had it all along the walls of Disney, and he had us come in and pre-record our voices so that he could storyboard out the whole film. And so for each scene, I knew exactly what he was looking for in the physical nature of the character and the emotional nature of the character and what shots he intended to use. It was really helpful for me in this world.
What do you think of the cartoon version of yourself?
I was flattered. I was a little intimidated. Her waist is a lot smaller than mine, so I thought there'd be no late-night Mexican food binges while shooting this. But I thought they did a really good job at capturing some of my quirks in my movements, and, you know, I run pigeon-toed, and she does too. And you know, sometimes you get self-conscious because, you know, they're looking for what sort of will define this character. But I just think they're just so wonderful. Like I said, I grew up watching those films and James Baxter's animation, so it was a huge compliment to me to be animated by him.
Did you provide footage for the animators?
We did. We actually recorded the scene of me arriving to the wedding. We treated it as though we were shooting a film and recorded that scene so that they would have it for reference for the animation.
What was the most grueling scene that you had to film, the rain, or was there, or carrying that big heavy dress, or what?
I think it's a toss-up. Any scene where I had the white dress was grueling. It weighed about 45 pounds, and the entire weight was on my hips. So occasionally, it felt like I was in traction, But also doing the last sequences with the dragon, it initially was a much longer sequence, which I guess terrified the kids too much. So it was a much longer sequence. So I spent a lot of time wet in the rain in a harness, hanging off with a sword, trying to climb, and I did not look very graceful. So that was somewhat grueling, but it was also fun and challenging, and you know.
Was the best experience singing and dancing in Central Park?
I recommend to all of you to go sing, and you might not get the same results as Giselle, but there's something so freeing about it, really. No, that scene was just exhilarating. I think when we come around the Bethesda Fountain, I remember arriving on that day and just really remembering my first time visiting New York and seeing the Bethesda Fountain, and to realize that I'd now be doing a musical number around it, which for me is fantastic. I just really had a really wonderful time.
What sort of things could you not do during your breaks with a white dress?
I know what you're getting at, and I'm not. I'm a lady.
Could you even sit down?
I could. You know, to allow me to sit down, they had to get these big sort of crash mats, is what they're called. These big blankets, and lay them out in the middle of the street, and I would basically fill up the whole street, and then I would lie back. I often played. I acted weird. I would lay back and then sit up as though I was rising from the dead. It was fun.
So, do you find the right balance in this character and strive for that? I mean, in terms of tone.
It was, and that was one of the things that. That interested me about taking this role was that challenge of making her, fun and coming from the animated world, so you would believe that, but also that she was grounded and human and based in enough emotion that she would resonate, and that was a really big challenge and something that I was very conscious of.
Amy, we often ask people after they've done a role, now that you've done a romantic lead, do you want to do something completely different? In this case, you did. An animated film, a big action film, a romance. It's almost.
There is a lot of genres in there.
How do you follow up this then? Does it feel like you're going to be hard to find something that gives you as much challenge?
You know, I think every role is challenging in its own way. I've already done. A couple movies since then, and they've had their own challenges and wonderful moments. And I'm getting ready to go work on a film called Doubt. That's a challenge in itself, acting opposite the great Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
How different is it, if at all, to the play?
I'm not sure. I'll see. I hate to make definite statements before we've begun rehearsals.
Can you talk about the other films you've done since?
Absolutely. I did Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day with Frances McDormand, where I play a 1930s cabaret singer. Very ambitious girl who Frances McDormand's character we meet each other and we have this fantastic day together. And then I did Charlie Wilson's War, which is being released soon with
an unknown cast, right?
Yeah, they're just a couple of little actors.
Who are you in that?
I play a congressional administrative assistant to Tom Hanks's character, so she's sort of his gal Friday.
How fun was that?
That was so much fun. I just to be on that set and sort of learn from these people and get to watch Philip Seymour Hoffman and Tom Hanks do these amazing scenes together, directed by Mike Nichols. It was for me like going to school.
What, you work much with Julia Roberts?
We had a scene together. One very fun scene.
Are you prepared for this movie being a huge popular success and catapulting you up to a different level of stardom?
I haven't thought about it. I know.
Start.
Well, what can you do about it? You know, it's sort of like, I honestly, I've had so many, I've been nominated for an Oscar and still managed to live in relative anonymity and did catch me. I guess I'll have to deal with it all as it comes.
Has Junebug pretty much propelled your career? I mean, look at that Oscar nomination, because I think on the morning of the Oscars, it was, that you were like the surprise one, and it all of a sudden, people were talking about Amy Adams, and then people were writing more about the movie and so forth. Did that open a lot of doors for you once the nomination came out?
You know, I don't know if it's the nomination or the attention that it brought to Junebug, but it also, I think, brought people's attention to my previous work. I'd gone a long time without people sort of making the connection to all of my different films and all of my different acting things. So I think it's the first time where I was really identified. And I think it absolutely has brought amazing opportunities and introduced me to so many people, and it was just a really wonderful experience.
And you have to go have a doll of yourself.
It's pretty surreal. My mom called yesterday morning and was like, I keep looking at that box, and that picture looks like I dressed you up for Halloween as a princess. Leave it to your mom to put it in perspective. She's like, it's just so unreal.
Is she still at the coffee shop in Colorado?
No, she's not.
Okay.
She's not working at Starbucks anymore.
Uh-huh. No, I think you're still so grounded at this point now that you've been receiving all this attention. Do you find it easy to ignore the hype?
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'm so busy, you know, and I also, I just surround myself with people who are pretty honest with me. I'd like to believe they're honest with me.
Right.
I mean, they're not afraid to tell me no, and that's to me the most important thing, or to let me know when I've stepped out of line, and I have a really great support group, and I think that's the key.
Who is your favorite Disney princess?
I like Cinderella. Yes.
Yeah.
She had a good work ethic, you know.
Have we signed for a sequel to this? Because we're all thinking this undoubtedly movie.
I believe that's in the contract, sort of.
Has it even been talked about to you?
You know, people
where the story could go from here?
No, they haven't really pitched any ideas to me. I kind of don't want to speculate yet. I'd rather, unless they're really interested in me coming into a creative meeting, which we'll see. But I would rather enjoy this process right now rather than think about that.
Can you talk about what it was like to work with Alan and Steven on the song?
Oh, absolutely.
Was there an additional song that didn't make it into the movie that you recorded, or no?
No, all of the songs that I worked on are in the film, and I was terrified. I was so scared. I don't know, not scared. I think I was so anxious. I really wanted to do a good job. And I grew up listening to Alan Menken's music, part of my world, like, or part of your world. I tormented the high school with that song, you know, for years. So I really wanted to live up to that standard. So I did do a lot of training on my voice. I'd done musical theater prior, but I'd been more of a dancer, so I wasn't considered a solo singer. So I did work very hard, and they ended up, I was afraid they were going to be such toughies, but they ended up being so gracious with Jimmy and I. I think they were just so thrilled that we actually sang, that they were really supportive and really allowed us to feel as though we could succeed in doing this. I mean, I knew Jimmy could. He's flawless.
What was it like singing the duet with him?
It was
did you even
great.
Know what he sang when you first met him?
I didn't know, and then I heard his voice, and it was like, oh, I was a puddle. He was just any girl would be. He's just dreaming.
Do you have a favorite of three songs?
Of my three songs, yeah. I think I like "That's How You Know." That was the hardest one for me to sing.
Do you have any musical aspirations outside of your Hollywood career? Would you ever want to do an album?
No, I won't be doing an album. I would love to do musicals. I would love. I'm realistic about where my voice sits, and it doesn't sit in the pop world. Or I could try, but it would not do well.
We talked about earlier about the tone of the acting of this, mm-hmm. but I was struck by the fact we were talking about the musical part of this. You also have to sing in a certain way that is atypical of...
Yes.
What was that challenge like to get the... musical element of his character, right?
Tonally, you know, I did listen to a lot. I listened to a lot of Disney princesses because they wanted the first number to sort of be reminiscent of a more Snow White feel, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, softer, more lilting. And as she becomes more real into the real world, we bring it up to a more current style with That's How You Know, which is much more of a sort of, you know, Broadway showstopper style of song. And if you'll notice, the songs continue to progress throughout the films. Even it goes into So Close, which is a lot more poppy, and then we end up with Carrie Underwood's Ever Ever After, and which is, you know, a country rock ballad. You know, it's like, so the music continues to evolve, and I did pay a lot of attention to that, and that was part of what I trained to do, was try to sing in that sort of operetta style, and then also doing a more Broadway style.
How bizarre was it working with all those animals that weren't there, or how many were there?
We had a whole room full of live rats and pigeons.
Those
are, yeah, not all of them. I mean, you can't train them to scrub a toilet. I've tried. No. I would love if you could train animals to do the dirty work. But we did have live rats and pigeons and no cockroaches. I don't work with
any bad moments during that? Because they say they work with animals and children. You do work with both. So what was the experience like working with the animals?
The pigeons were testy. they would start kind of picking at each other, you know, and you'd I think a couple of them were trying to meet some gals, if you know what I mean. So there were a couple very like these guys would, and they would, you'd have to put them away because he would fluff up. There was this one, and he was just a, you know that loud noise that they make? So he had to go. He was too frisky. Cool. Thanks, guys.